Good morning. I'd like us to open to Galatians today. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. After Corinthians is Galatians. Chapter 6. And we'll go over verse 7 through 10. It's from the NASB. It says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." Would you pray with me this morning? Lord, we just ask for revelation of your word. We thank you for this brand new morning where your mercies are new today. God, we just pray that you'd fill this day with your spirit and your presence. And God, I pray that you guide us this morning as we give you the first of our morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And so in verse 7, "Do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, this he will also reap." And so this sort of passage, Paul starts sort of in negative. And so as we go through this passage, he starts off with a negative. Do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. And so we know that there are good things that we can sow and reap, and there are negative things that we can sow and reap. And so I know a lot of times people feel like what they're experiencing now is because of some of their sins that they did in the past or whatever. And so the truth is, the things that you sow maybe in your youth or whatever will be reaped eventually sometime. And so in verse 8, he talks about sowing into the flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And so there's this dichotomy of sowing things that are of the flesh and sowing things that are of the Spirit. And so we as believers need to really think about what we are sowing in this life as we live life. You know, especially if you have children, we are sowing into our kids, whether we realize it or not, whether we want to or not. We're coming up to Father's Day, and our children look up to us, and by the things that we say, the things that we do, we're sowing into our children, whether we want to, whether we realize it, whether we desire to, we are doing those things. Now the question is, are you doing things intentionally or unintentionally? And this idea of sowing and reaping is not new. Paul is not coming up with this on his own. You know, he didn't have his quiet time and just realize that, oh, this is a great idea, let me write it down. This is as old as the beginning of time, beginning of creation, all of nature. Jesus taught it in his parables. You know, he talks about a parable of a farmer who went to sow seeds, and as he slept, the enemy came and sowed bad seeds among the good. And as the harvest was happening, there was weeds along with the wheat. And Jesus in the parable says that there must be someone else who planted another seed. And so this whole idea of sowing and reaping is Jesus talks about it. Back in the Old Testament, Hosea talks about if you sow the wind, you'll reap a whirlwind. And we're going to come back to that idea, but think about that statement. If you sow the wind, and obviously it's metaphorical, if you sow the wind, what will be reaped, and what will be reaped is a whirlwind, something even greater than what you originally planted or sowed. And if you look back as far as Exodus, Moses gives the law, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And that's all we know as believers. That's all we've remembered and that's all we state. But it continues, a hand for a hand, a foot for a foot, a wound for a wound. Right? And so this whole idea is whatever was wronged unto you, that's what you can give back as punishment. That was Old Testament law. And obviously we remember Jesus says, a new commandment I give unto you. Forgive one another. And so here, Paul is stating in verse 7, do not be deceived, God is not mocked. And we have to ask ourselves, why does Paul say that? Maybe it's because, whether we realize it or not, many of us think that we can deceive God. In other words, you know, we live life and we sow seeds into our flesh and do things that are negative, and we think that maybe we could deceive God, and maybe we think that, you know, God's not going to see this, or he's not going to, you know, we can pull the cover over his eyes or something and maybe have him ignore those things. But Paul is emphatically saying, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. You cannot pull the wool over his eyes. And so as we go over this passage, there are a couple of principles that I want to go over. And one thing is, you have to realize I'm not a farmer, though I lived next to a farm. That doesn't qualify me. But there are some principles of farming that if we were to go over, we would really understand what the heart of this passage is. Number one. Wise sowers or planters, let's use the word planters, wise planters plant with the harvest in mind. Wise planters plant with the harvest in mind. I highly doubt if you were to ask any farmer, as they're going out and planting, that why are you doing this? Why are you planting? I bet you all of them would say, well, I'm planting because I want to harvest, you know, whatever it is, corn or wheat or whatever. In other words, he's planting with the harvest in mind. He's planting with the harvest in mind. And spiritually speaking, I mean, in the natural, that makes total sense, because you wouldn't just plant just for fun. I don't imagine. Maybe there's some really passionate farmers out there that, you know, they wake up in the morning and they're like, oh man, I just love to go and plant and sow seeds and till the ground and do all these things for fun. You know, maybe there are, but, I don't think that's the case. I think the majority of farmers plant because they have the harvest in mind. And so that makes sense to us, because we wouldn't just plant for pleasure or just for recreation. You know, if we plant something, we expect to see something come out of it. If we're planting seeds, we want to see. That's why we do it. Yet if you think about it, as we live our lives, a lot of us don't necessarily live our lives in that way. Right? We work and we work and we plant and we plant, but we don't have the harvest in mind. And the Bible says that you will reap what you sow. And so now the question is, what are you planting? What are you sowing? Because that's what you're going to reap. And so we've got to start with the harvest in mind. But in our personal lives, you know, most of us, we live life because we just want to plant for fun. We just want to have fun. And so we go out and we live life for the flesh, and we go out and have fun without realizing what we're going to reap in the end. And so Paul encourages us to plant and to sow, but if you understand the illustration of farmers, they have the harvest in mind. It's not just planting for fun. It's not living life just for fun. It's living life within the end. There's a harvest in mind. Are we living lives like that? Are we living lives like that? The previous generations will look at younger generations and look down upon younger generations and say, man, they don't live lives with any intentionality. All they want to do is have fun. All they want to do is work, 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 and make money and make money without having sort of the harvest in mind, the end result. Number two, you will reap what you sow. You will reap what you sow. This is pretty obvious. There's a story of a young boy who loved playing in his treehouse, in this tree. Loved climbing up. It was a big trunk and huge branches, and he just loved climbing and playing it every single day after school in the summertime during a summer holiday and break. He would just climb and play. But the dad had noticed that for many, many years, for 20, 30, 40 years, that this tree was not producing any fruit. And so he told the family, you know, I think I want to make some space out in the yard, you know, make a garden, so I'm going to have to cut down this tree. And the son was devastated at those news, at that news, and he was thinking in his mind, what can I do, because that's my favorite tree to climb. And so he thought, well, the reason why dad is going to cut down this tree is because it's not bearing any fruit. So he noticed that in his neighbor's lot, there's a couple of apple trees. And so he had a great idea. He said, I'm gonna make sure that this tree looks like it's bearing fruit. And so he went to his neighbor's yard, and he plucked all the apples from the tree, and he took some string, and he tied all of these apples to the tree leaves and the branches, and then he was excited about his idea, and it looked, you know, pretty good. It's like, you know, Dad, look, there's apples growing from our tree. You can't cut it down. And the dad responded, wow, this is truly a miracle. This tree that was once dead is now producing fruit, is producing apples. And so the boy was happy, and he thought that dad would save the tree. And the dad responded, now this is a double miracle, because this is not an apple tree, it was a pear tree. And but the truth of the matter is, if it's a pear tree, you're not gonna bear apples. You're going to reap what you sow. If you reap into the flesh, if you sow and plant into the flesh, you will reap the things of the flesh that leads to destruction, Galatians says. But if you sow into the kingdom, if you sow into the things of the Spirit, you're going to reap things from the Spirit that leads to eternal life. Now, this passage would be a very discouraging if it stopped there. You know, if Paul is saying, hey guys, you can't be deceived, God cannot be mocked, you know, whatever you sow, you'll reap, you know, corruption, all that stuff. It would be a bit discouraging if he stops there, but he doesn't. Thank goodness. In verse 9, he says, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we'll reap if we do not grow weary. Paul is saying, don't lose heart. I mean, if there's anybody in scriptures that could say that with any authority, I think it would be the Apostle Paul, who's gone through so many difficulties and hardships and shipwrecks and being beaten up and stoned almost to death. And here he is, he's saying, don't lose heart. As he's preaching the gospel, and as he's not being able to see whether or not his words are being received well, or whether or not he's being effective in his ministry and in his evangelism, here he is working hard, and he says, do not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. The third and final principle about harvesting that we need to understand is that you will always harvest more than you will plant. You will harvest more than you plant. If you look at a farmer and you see him working as he's tilling the ground and he's planting seed by seed by seed, obviously now they have tractors and machines that does it for you. But back in the old ancient days, as they did it manually, as they planted seed after seed, you know, in strategic places, and you ask that farmer, let's say you ask that farmer, how many seeds did you plant, or how many, you know, what did you, how much corn do you expect to see or planting? And he says, well, I'm planting maybe 15 or 20 bushels. And if you ask that same farmer, okay, after planting 15 or 20 bushels, how many bushels of corn do you expect to harvest? And if that farmer says, well, I planted 15, and so I expect only 15, that farmer should be fired. And you've got to wonder about him, because that doesn't make any sense at all. Because when a farmer plants, the answer is not, I expect only 15. The appropriate answer is, I expect to reap wagons and wagons, loads of corn. I expect to reap so much more than I planted. Does that make sense? As a farmer plants seeds, he's expecting to harvest way more. For me, as a young kid, this principle makes a lot more sense in the sense of microwaving popcorn. It starts off with these seeds, and you put it in the microwave, and it pops and pops and pops and pops and pops, and it grows bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and it's like, wow, it's amazing. Obviously, you know, there's no extra, you know, seeds that pop and make it, but it grows bigger and bigger and bigger. Now, if I expected that popcorn to stay flat and stay in that small in my hand quantity, as I put this in the microwave, you know, that's ridiculous. as you put in the microwave, you expect lots of popcorn. You expect it to grow bigger, and you expect it. And the farmer is the same. As you sow seeds, you don't expect the same amount. You expect bushels load, even more than you ever planted. If that is true in the natural, listen to what I'm saying. If that is true in the natural, how much more is it possible for our God, who is in charge of all things, to have you reap and harvest way more than you've even planted and sowed? Can I get an amen? If that is true in the natural, how much more when we plant and when we sow into the supernatural, into the things of God, into what Galatians says, the things of the Spirit, how much more can we expect to reap or harvest that is greater than we have ever planted? You may give to somebody financially in need. Maybe it's only $5. Or maybe it's $10 or $100 or whatever it may be. And because of that small amount, that small seed that you're planting into someone's life, that person is able to bless many and just the influence over nations just because of that small seed that you planted. It happens all the time in the natural. It happens all the time in the supernatural because the principle is true. You will harvest greater than you planted. Now it just depends on what you're planting. Are you planting for yourselves? Are you planting for the flesh? Or are you planting for the things of God? And it says, don't lose heart in doing good. I know it's really difficult in times of wilderness, in times of trouble, to continue to plant righteousness. It's easy to be idle and just to be complacent. But be encouraged that when you plant in the desert time, you will reap a harvest when living water comes and begins to exponentially pour over your seed that you planted. Do not lose heart. I did some research on some endurance records in my spare time because that's what I like to do. But there's some world records. And I don't know how current it is, but the longest time spent standing, just Guinness Book of World Record, longest time just standing is 17 years by a man from India. And he was leaning against a plank while he's sleeping, so he's sleeping standing up. So for 17 years, he continued to stand. The longest time that someone did CPR was two teams from England, and they did CPR on a dummy for 144 hours. I don't know why you would do that. The longest nonstop ocean swim by a woman was 122 miles of swimming from Mexico to Cuba in 38 hours and 33 minutes. You know, Jeanette, why don't you go ahead and try that? The longest typewriting marathon was by a guy named Les Stewart, who for 16 years straight started typing the numbers 1 to 1 million on 19,990 sheets of paper. The longest time someone balanced on one foot like this is a man from India, once again, 76 hours and 40 minutes. And the longest distance walking on a person's hands is a man from Austria, 870 miles over 55 days in 10-hour stints. If I were to be frank, I'm not really interested in developing this kind of endurance. However, when it comes to the things of the Spirit and things of God, there is an endurance that I do want to cultivate. And as the Bible says, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. And as I read the scriptures and as I read this, either God is telling the truth or he's not. And so I want you to be encouraged this morning that to continue to plant things of righteousness, continue to invest in the things of God, because in due time, you will reap something incredible. Do not give up and do not grow weary. Let's pray together this morning. I'd like you this morning as we... before we go into the song and as we sing, to think about the way you're living your life, because you are planting something with your life, whether you realize it or not, whether you want to or not, you are. And now the question is, are you planting for the things that will last for eternity or for things that will be destroyed in this life, that will pass away, that will disappear? And as we meditate and as we spend our devotion this morning, I'd like us to refocus our lives to planting into the things of God, investing in the things that will last forever, not to live life and have fun for fun's sake, but to be really intentional with our lives, to ask God to open our eyes to see opportunities to plant into the kingdom, to plant for eternity. And in faith, to hold on to this word, Galatians 6, chapter 9. Don't lose heart in doing good, for in due time you'll reap a harvest if you don't grow weary. So then, while you have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Maybe there's an opportunity for you to invest, to do good to all people, not just some people, not to a few people, but especially to those who are the household of faith. As you plant, as you sow, you will reap. You will harvest even greater than what you planted. Let's sing this together with Janelle.
Dark.
Let's pray. Let's pray for our community as we go into our community, as we pray for the sick. One special prayer request. Yesterday, Pastor Sam was complaining about stomach pains. I had to go to the hospital, and they found out he had appendicitis and went immediately to surgery last night at 7. And he's fine, and he's still at Kenosha Hospital. And so if we could just lift up Pastor Sam. It's totally unexpected, totally just came out of nowhere. And so the surgery was successful, and everything's fine. He's going to recover. But if you could just pray for strength as he recovers, as we have a big weekend this weekend with Dr. Kraft. And so if you could just lift up prayers for Pastor Sam to get healthy and strong again. So let's pray for him, and then let's lift up all the names on the screen as we continue to pray every day for those with cancer, and let's ask God to really do incredible work in them. And so let's pray. Thank you. move to the next slide as we pray for those who were praying for salvation in the midst of their illness. And so let's ask God to really open up the eyes of his loved ones. And so let's pray for salvation, and let's continue to pray for those with other infirmities. Let's begin to pray for those who are looking for work, and let's ask the Lord to really open up things quickly, and let's just lift them up. Let's pray for our mission focus for today, and let's pray for Kenny in Japan, and let's pray for Rachel and the Obergs in Thailand, and let's lift up North Korea and Chris, and let's lift up their families and their work, and so let's intercede for them right now. Begin to lift up our mission teams that are going to Japan and to Thailand, and ask the Lord to really use them to further the gospel. And let's ask the Lord to really just begin to plant seeds of faith in those nations. And so let's lift up for Team Unity. So let's lift up those mission trips to Japan and Thailand. Let's pray for our SP ministries. Let's pray for Noah's Ark and the nursery and the youth group and the men's and women's ministry. Let's ask God to really be with our kids and with the men's and women's ministry. And so let's pray for the leaders there, and let's ask God to really bless those groups right now. Father, we just thank you.
foundation of faith, God, come alive.
Pray for our house churches that are meeting, for Conduit, for PPHV, Tin Hau, and let's pray for the communities there as we're coming to an end of a house church season. Let's ask the Lord to really bring those communities together in unity, and so let's pray for our house churches. So Lord, we want to plant and invest in the things of the kingdom, knowing that we'll reap a harvest in due time. And Lord, I pray for strength for those who are weary. God, we just pray that we will continue to be diligent in doing good. Lord, help us to see that what we are planting is worthwhile, Lord. And so God, we pray for those who are ill and sick, and God, we just ask for your blessing over them, God. Thank you for this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Encourage you to stay and pray and stay in the presence of God this morning before you go to work. And God bless you, and we'll see you tomorrow.